The voice of a generation, from news to pop culture and everything in between, this is Youth Radio This Week. I'm Brandon McFarland, and welcome to this week's Youth Radio podcast. On this episode, we're featuring some of our best content of 2016, and we're going to start it off with Colin Kaepernick. He's the quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, and he decided to take a knee during the national anthem this entire football season. It's caused a lot of controversy and sparked a lot of conversation, and it's not just football players who are trying to understand and navigate these different values. Teenagers in schools across the country start every morning saluting the flag and reciting the national anthem. Youth Radio's Garrison Pennington, Amanda Augustine, Nicholas Lai, and Dominic Vaughn are grappling with whether they should take their own stand by sitting down through the pledge.
So I actually found out from my dad, who came from the football perspective of, what is he doing? I don't want to see that happening. This is football. This isn't politics. Stay out of it. And when my dad talked to me about it at first, I completely agreed with him because I watch football to watch football. I will think about politics when it's time to think about politics. You better keep the two separate, otherwise I hate you.
I don't necessarily pledge my allegiance to this country. Often, actually, I will stand because people will get angry when I don't, but I definitely will not put my hand on my heart or sing or recite the pledge simply because I don't believe it's true. I believe if I were to say that I live in a country and pledge my allegiance to a country that has liberty and justice for all, then I would be lying.
You know, I've gone through classes where we actually study the Constitution, the allegiance. So now I definitely think a lot more about what it means. I'd probably still stand, but I have a lot more thoughts about what I'm honoring.
When I got close to high school, that's when I started just sitting down and not really reciting the pledge. Like, I really started thinking, what has America done for me?
You have to have someone who's willing to stand up, or in this case, sit down, to bring attention to those issues. And so after thinking about that, I realized I kind of have to respect what Colin Kaepernick did.
I do believe that, like, it should be love it or fix it. If it's the country is not, you know, doing for you as it should, that doesn't mean you should abandon it. That's not patriotic to me. It's fix it.
From Colin Kaepernick's protest about racial injustice, we're going to go into another story about race, about stereotypes. Youth Radio's Amber Lee has been dealing with a particular stereotype her entire school career, and it almost has a positive spin on it. Students and teachers in her school assume that she's good at school because she's Asian. And so she tackled the idea of the model minority myth and reveal some of its dark sides.
There's a joke that an A minus is an Asian F. It's a play on the idea that all Asians are smart. We get good grades, we work hard. Jokes like this can be pretty frustrating for Asian teens. They make us sound like a bunch of high-achieving robots. And that's just not true for everyone.
I come here with nothing. I don't have English. No English at all.
That's my mom.
Our family is not like have a good education from the country.
My parents never got a formal education. They came here in the early 1990s as refugees from Cambodia. The dropout rate for Cambodian American kids like me is actually really high, 35%. It shouldn't be a newsflash that not all Asian Americans do well in school. But the model minority stereotype makes the actual problems in these communities invisible.
Hi, can I help you?
Can I get a dozen?
That's a donut hole.
My parents own a donut shop in San Francisco.
Thank you.
They work all night, and a lot of the day too. So there's little time to be tiger parents. They don't hover over my homework. But when I'm at school, my teachers and peers still treat me like I'm supposed to be some kind of genius. And I'm not the only one.
I was always expected to be like the top student, and in middle school and in elementary school, I worked really hard to meet that standard because I felt that was what everyone expected of me and I didn't want to let them down.
That's my friend, 15-year-old Rhea Park. For her, the model minority myth can make it harder to get the help she needs at school.
Like, even the teachers, whenever I needed help, they'd be like, oh, it's okay, you can figure it out.
I get this too. The pressure I feel about school doesn't come from my family. My mom doesn't even know the stereotype that's supposed to be about her.
Have you ever heard about tiger moms?
No. What's a tiger mom?
So yeah, like, this is like what a tiger mom is. It's like, you're super strict. Like, oh my God, you have to like go study right now. No playing with your friends. You can't go outside. Like, you have to study, you have to play piano, you have to do the violin.
I cannot do that because I saw you trying to work hard by your homework or your everything, your test. You always try hard by yourself.
I've spent the last 4 years in high school feeling ashamed because I'm a B student. And lately, I've come to see that this invisible pressure I feel is the model minority myth at work. This is how racism operates. It erases our individuality. It tells us how we should act, how we should perform in school. And when we miss the mark, we're failures. That's how even positive-sounding racial stereotypes cause damage.
This podcast is produced in Oakland, California, in the Bay Area, where tech is king and it costs a lot to live here. 19-year-old Desmond Megley always thought he'd move out when he turned 18 and be out on his own. But like a lot of other young people, he's having a hard time leaving home because the cost of adulthood outweighs the benefits.
As I search Craigslist, I'm reminded that I live in the country's most expensive housing market, the Bay Area.
Affordable single-room occupancy in the heart of Oakland for $695 a month. And they do not feature kitchens or private bathrooms.
Until last year, 19-year-old Elizabeth Matute lived at home in San Francisco with her mom and siblings, helping to support her family. Now, she rents a room in a house with five other people in West Oakland, and that eats up most of her paycheck.
Growing up, they would always tell me not more than 70% of your income should go to rent. For me to be paying about 80, it's like, why am I so over?
If it wasn't for their constant arguments, she would have stayed with her mom and saved thousands. But for Matute, independence is worth the price.
I'm literally just in the drain. But it's fine, because it's like, I enjoy the fact that I'm being responsible.
Even in cheaper markets, like Kalamazoo, Michigan, paying for housing can be overwhelming. Kayla Bean took on three low-wage jobs when she turned 18 to share a house with her best friend. But the stress of work and college was more than she expected.
Paying my bills, getting the rent, living in my own place kind of weighed on me.
The pressure damaged her friendship and her health, forcing her back home.
I really thought it was going to be a great improvement on my life, but ultimately it was a poor decision that I wouldn't really recommend to most people, especially as young as we are and in the economy we're in.
I've always seen moving out on my own as a marker of adulthood. But for me, the cost outweighs the benefits. So for now, I'm making the more adult decision to stay at home with my family.
That's it for Youth Radio this week. Thanks for listening. If you like this podcast, please subscribe to iTunes or wherever you get your podcast from. I'm your host, Brandon McFarland. Till next time.